Lord, we come before you. We thank you so much for this night. I thank you for every person that's here. I ask that you fill me with your spirit, your wisdom, your guidance, and I ask that we would learn and grow in you, that the words I speak, Lord, tonight will be your words. In Jesus' name. Okay, so tonight we're going to be talking about how to have joy and peace in relationships. Easy, right? Something easy to do, right? I want you to know right off a couple things. Number one, it's not your partner's responsibility to make sure that you have joy and peace. You get that? It's not their responsibility to make sure you have joy and peace. But it's your responsibility to help them have as much joy and peace as they can have. Does that make sense? So it's my responsibility for Della to hopefully help her to have joy in her life and peace in her life. But it's not her responsibility to do that for me. In other words, I'm responsible for me, she's responsible for her, but we're supposed to be blessing the other person. Does that make sense in the balance of things there? And make sure we understand that. I'm going to use as our launching pad Galatians chapter 5, talking about the fruit of the Spirit. So Galatians 5, I'm going to start in verse 16, and we're going to go through verse 26. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that they do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So right off, we see that we need to be walking in the Spirit. And we're going to talk more about what that means as the time goes on. But if you're walking in the Spirit, if you're following Christ, you're going to have peace and joy in your life. It's my responsibility to make sure I'm doing that. And it says the Spirit and the flesh, they're always battling each other, aren't they? Right? It's always a battle. You know, my old nature wants to come out, and I want to do the things I used to do or say the things I used to say. And I have to continually be dying to those things so that I'm walking in the Spirit. And we need to be filled with the Spirit, not bound to the law. In other words, I want to do the things that are godly, not because I just have to, but because I want to. Does that make sense? I want to serve God. I want to have joy and peace in my life. I want my spouse to have joy and peace in her life or his life. So therefore, I want to do it joyfully. Not because I have to, but because I'm free in the Lord to do that. It goes on in verse 19, it says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissension, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revilers, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if you're not a Christian, first of all, you need to be, because you can't walk in the Spirit unless you know Jesus Christ, unless you're walking in Him and understanding His Word and wanting to follow His Word. Now, if you look at these aspects, this is the opposite of walking in the Spirit. These are the works of the flesh. Now, there's enough in there for each of us to have one or two, right? In our old nature, before we knew Christ, there's stuff in there. Now, if you're doing that, do you think as a Christian, now not as a non-Christian, but as a Christian, do you think you could have peace and joy if you're doing those old things of the old nature? Do you think so? Yes? No? No? I mean, we all sometimes fall and do something we shouldn't be doing, and then our joy goes away and our peace goes away. Why? Because we're separated from God at that point. The Bible says the prayers of a righteous man avail much, and that God doesn't hear the prayers of unrighteous. So we need to make sure that we're doing the right things in Him. The key word here, too, is it's really important that you see the word those who practice these things, okay? It's not saying, oh no, I messed up. I did something stupid. I said something stupid, therefore I'm a wretch. No. are you practicing any of these things? Then you need to stop it. You need to turn from it and make sure you're following God so he could cleanse you and use you. And you, I promise you, your joy and your peace will return when you repent from your sin and you do what Christ tells you to do. In verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You notice it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's singular. All of these things are fruit of walking in the Spirit and being a godly person. And they're all driven by the one word, love. Does that make sense? It's all driven by love. And then these attributes follow as you love the Lord and you love others. So tonight we're going to look at just two of them, joy and peace. And over the next few months, I'm hoping we'll go through long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and all the rest. Can you handle it? Okay, good. Amen. So in this, as Christians, we need to crucify, it says, which is kill our flesh, die to ourselves. You know, the Bible says in Romans, to crucify our flesh, it says to die to ourselves daily and to present our bodies a living sacrifice to God. Now, here I am every day, regularly, I'm supposed to present my body a living sacrifice to God and say, God, purify me. God, make me holy. Make me do the right thing. And if I do the right things, then I have joy and peace. You know the problem with the living sacrifice? We crawl off the altar. Right? Yeah. I'm a living sacrifice. So I go, okay, God, I'll let you have that door, but not that one. Or I'll turn over that sin, but not that one. And God's saying, I want all of it. Do you want true peace? Do you want true joy? Then you need to give it all to me. Every aspect. Die to yourself daily. Give it to God. And your life will change, I promise you. It says in verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Anybody want to venture to say, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Nobody knows?
Submit.
Serve him.
To surrender your will to Christ.
Surrender your will to Christ.
Submitting.
Submitting. Anything else?
Be in prayer.
Be in prayer. So walking in the Spirit. Saying, God, I want to be in your Spirit, not in my flesh. Dying to yourself and just saying, God, I'm going to do what you want me to do. It goes on in verse 26. It says, let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. Again, the dying to self. Okay, so we want peace and we want joy, right? And do we want our spouse to have peace and joy or our partner to have peace and joy? Do we provoke them? You know what I mean. Don't we know just what to say to our spouse to get their goat? Get them mad? And so I'm a little frustrated, so I... says, don't do that. Don't provoke each other. Don't become conceited. Oh, I'm better than you are. If only you were as godly as I am, and as spiritual as I am. Wait, that's the wrong thing. Right? Seriously, because what God will do is he'll humble you.
Amen.
He'll humble you because you have a pride attitude then. Our attitude needs to be, how can I make my partner have joy in their life? How can I help them to have peace? And it's not going to be by provoking one another or envying. How about envying one another? If I envy my spouse because they have certain gifts and I don't, and I down them for it, that's terrible. We're supposed to be partners and teams. My wife and I have different giftings, and it's a blessing to us. We recognize those giftings, and we allow the other person to do the things that they're blessed with. And that causes peace. What if I, you know, what if I kept trying to do all the things that she does well? She'd be frustrated all the time, right? Wouldn't bring a lot of peace, or vice versa. We need to look at what God's called us to do and how we can serve the other person and help them to grow and blossom in the gifts that God has given them. Okay, I'm going to read something to you out of, I think I shared with you guys last month or the month before, there's a thing called gotquestions.org. Have any of you ever heard of that before? It's a great, great, solid place where you can ask any questions. You can ask something about adultery. You can ask something about anger. You can ask something about Mormonism. You can ask a lot of questions, and it's solid stuff. So I looked in there, and there's been this big debate forever about, is there a difference between joy and happiness? And everybody says, oh, yes, there is, or oh, no, there isn't. Or I'm going to read to you what they said, and it's just really, really kind of, I was totally, there's a difference between joy and happiness. And after reading this, I'll let you come to the conclusion you want to come to. The answer is, there is no explicit difference between happiness and joy. Both involve emotions, both are pleasurable feelings, and both are mentioned in the scripture passages as equal. The dictionary definition of happiness is a state of well-being, a pleasurable or satisfying experience. A definition of the word rejoice, related to the word joy, is to feel great delight, to be glad. Depending on the translation of the Bible, uses the word happy and happiness about 30 times, while joy and rejoice appears over 300 times. It is common today to hear believers speak of the differences between joy and happiness. The teaching usually makes the following point. One, happiness is a feeling, but joy is not. Two, happiness is fleeting, but joy is everlasting. Three, happiness depends on circumstances or other people, but joy is a gift of God. Four, happiness is worldly, but joy is divine. But there is no such distinction in the scripture. And focusing on the distinction between the two words that are so obviously close in the meaning is unnecessary. So if you think about, you know, I've gone through about joy and happiness. The bottom line is they're so close together, let's not try to split hairs on it. Does that make sense to you guys? No? Okay. If a person is joyful, then he or she is happy, right? There's no such thing as a gloom joy. I'm joyful. Unless you're baptized in lemon juice. That's different. We cannot drain joy of emotions and still call it joy. When God's Spirit gives us joy, then we're happy people. Christians should be joyful. Happiness should be characterize our everyday lives. James 1 and 2 says, consider all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials. Christians can be happy even in the midst of difficulty because we know the testing of our faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Verses 3 and 4, as we persevere through trials, with God's help, our faith strengthens and matures us, doesn't it? Amen. As we persevere, that's how we become stronger. That's how we trust God more. That's how we can grow in the Lord. If you have no trials and no problems, then I'm sorry, it's just not going to help happen. By God's grace, we can be happy despite our circumstances. Joy is often presented as true commitment based on faith. Happiness, in contrast, is often thought of as false or superficial, emotion depending on circumstances. But this is a false dichotomy. There is nothing in the Bible that suggests we divorce joy from happiness. The two are equal. Now, you might be going, that's not what I've heard and I've learned, and that's okay. But I want your mind to be open to it. Joy and happiness are just so closely related that you can't say you're happy and not be joyful. You can't say you're full of joy and not be happy. So they really work together in harmony there. All right, I'm going to take a quick run through the scriptures And we're going to look at some scriptures on joy. And again, it's real important to me that we understand that I'm supposed to have joy in the Lord no matter what's going on around me, no matter if my spouse is having joy or not, I'm still supposed to have joy. I look at, when I'm counseling people, I tell them, you're responsible for you, and you're responsible for you. Does that make sense? So we're all responsible to have joy ourselves, not because I'm waiting, well, when Della gives me joy, then I'll be joyful. No, I'm responsible in the Lord to have joy in the Lord by following his word and doing what he's called me to do. So Luke 6, 22 and 23 said, blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and cast your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. The key words are, it's for the Son of Man's sake. Okay, not that they're, right? They're reviling you, they hate you, they're treating you terrible because you are being terrible, because you're not being nice. No, it's for the Son of Man's sake. Do you get that? So I'm following Christ, I'm doing the right things, and they don't like me because I'm being Christian. What religion, what person is the most hated to me right now, I believe, in the United States? Christians. So if you're being a Christian loving God, they hate you for that. That, I don't know, I'm a little sidetracked here, but to me, that tells me I have the right religion. I'm serious. They could do everything and anything, and any religion could say and do anything, but you talk about Jesus Christ, you talk about holiness, and oh, you're a terrible person. Why? It's the true God. It's the true religion. Okay, back into my... Verse 23 says, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. So when they're persecuting you for his name's sake, we're supposed to rejoice. Like, oh no, they're persecuting me. Praise the Lord. I did what God told me to do. I glorified him and they're persecuting me. I could have peace of knowing I'm being obedient to God, and I could have joy in knowing that I did what God called me to do. Does that make sense, you guys? Okay. We need to trust him and not ourselves. Again, it's when we're persecuted for his name's sake. So if we're following him, that's when we're going to have the peace. That's when we're going to have joy, even when trials and problems are coming. But if you're truly a Christian, and if you're not a Christian in here tonight, I would love to talk to you afterwards and introduce you to my Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. But if you are, then you know that when you don't have joy and when you don't have peace, usually you're not following God, right? You're in sin somewhere. Or maybe you're treating your spouse not very nice, and God's convicting you because you need to change and do things differently. So I'd ask you to check your heart in that and see what God wants you to do. In James 1, 2 through 4, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Again, here we go, trials, woohoo! Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let the patience again have the perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing, having the joy in the trials. We can't overlook that, that the trial could be a joy if we grow in the Lord and allow him to do the work in us that he wants to. In Psalm 4, 6 and 8 through 8, it says, there are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and wheat increased. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Who makes us dwell in safety? The alarm on our door? People are getting into those all the time, aren't they? Your internet surely doesn't keep you safe, does it? But it's the Lord that can give you the safety and the peace. If I'm having a hard time going to sleep, I don't get up and yell and scream. I pray, Lord, help me, strengthen me, give me your peace. Help me to do what I need to do. We rely on his peace, and then the joy will come back and the peace will come back. In Philippians 4:4-7, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ." When will you have peace that passes understanding according to this? What's that? Anybody? When you pray? When you get wisdom from the Lord? When you're giving thanks to the Lord? Then he'll guard your mind and he'll give you the peace that passes all understanding. We need to not be anxious for anything. Easier said than done, right? I'm guilty. Could you edit that so Pastor Jack doesn't hear it? I mean, what is one of the most acceptable sins today? Worry, right? Oh, I'm worried about this. I understand, brother. I understand, sister. Instead of saying, well, let me pray for you. Let's give it to the Lord and ask him to take it over. That's what we're supposed to. I'm not saying I do all the time, you guys, But we need to make sure that we're having the peace and joy of the Lord, that we're trusting him when the anxieties come, when the stresses come, that we say, God, help us. And who better to say that with or to pray with than your spouse, than your partner? If I'm anxious or uptight, and my wife says, too bad for you, huh? Huh, I don't know why you're anxious. You must be just a sinner. Well, I am, but what if instead she says what she does? Well, let's pray. Or what she usually says to me is, George, turn on some worship music. And we'll talk more about that later, but I'll tell you, when I'm uptight and I'm frustrated or I'm stressing, I turn on worship music where I can worship God and I'm singing his word and things just melt away. Because I'm giving it to God and I'm asking God. And that's what we need to do as partners, is provoke each other to that, provoke each other to the righteousness. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Good. Okay, in Psalm 16:11 it says, "You will show me the path of life. Your presence is fulfilled, is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forever." We are in his presence. Read, sing, pray, do something to get your mind, your attitude on God, and that peace that passes all understanding will come back and joy will come back. I am not saying that I never worry. I'm not saying you will never worry or have anxiety. You will. But when you do, do the right thing. Give it to Christ and ask for his strength in it. In 1 Thessalonians 3:9 and 10, it says, "For what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before God, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in our faith." Praying night and day. I have to tell you, I'm really spiritual. Because I could take something and pray for it, never think about it again. And then there's the times when something's coming up and I pray about it and I give it to God and I don't think about it for a week. And then there's the times I pray about it and think about it and I think about it at the end of the day. And then there's the times when it's every hour. And then there's the times when it's every minute. Do you get what I'm saying? That's why it's saying pray day and night. There are certain things that we have to constantly give back to the Lord. The enemy's going to continually be trying to rip off your peace, rip off your joy, and you're going to have to say, I give it back to God. I give it back to God. No, I got to give it back to God again. I got to give it back to God again. God, you're in charge. Satan, you're a scumbag. You're trying to ruin my day. And that's what he'll do. He'll keep provoking and poking at you. Don't let it happen. Don't give up. What was that thing? Never give up, never surrender. Galaxy Quest, sorry, but yeah, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it just, don't quit. When you quit, guess who wins?
Satan.
Amen. So never quit. Don't give up. Okay. But I really, honestly, of course, I've been a Christian a long time, but when people say, well, I've already prayed about it. Okay. How many times? 10 times. There are things in my life that I've been praying for 30 years. I'm telling you the truth. Don't stop. Keep giving it back to God. Keep asking for his peace, and he'll take care of you. In Psalm 27:6, it says, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Again, singing should be bringing joy to you. How many of you guys, no, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. There's an old computer term, and it's called giggle or geigo. Garbage in, garbage out. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. But what we put in our minds, in our ears, comes out of our mouth and filters in through our head and messes us up. What are you listening to throughout the day? Are you listening to God's word? When you're driving to and from work, are you listening to worship music? Or are you listening to worldly stuff that's bringing you back to old sin days? I'm not asking you to raise your hand. But I'm telling you, you want peace, you want joy in the Lord, continue to focus on him, continue to worship him, continue to give those things to him. Psalm 47, 1 through 3 says, oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is the great king over all the earth. He will subdue the people under us and the nations under his feet. When I worship God, and you know, my wife is a total witness to this, I could be totally stressed about something or bummed about something, but when I start worshiping God, I'm ready to conquer things again because I'm full of God and his spirit. The peace that passes all understanding comes back, and the joy of God comes back. So we need to pick praying, worshiping, singing, communicating in God's word, and he will bring that peace and joy back to you into your life. In John 15:10-12, the word says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be fulfilled. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. If we want joy, we're going to keep his commandments. Yeah, I don't know why I don't have joy and peace. And we're in sin. Repent. Don't let the enemy rip you off. Repent. Give it to God, ask for forgiveness, and the joy and the peace will come back. Abide in his love. What does it mean to abide in his love? Anybody? What's it mean to abide in his love? Be in fellowship with him. The more I know him, the more I love him. The more he knows me, the more I know he loves me. And if I'm abiding in his love, there's such a comfort and a joy and a peace in that. So abide in his love, in his protection. Then it says, love one another. That's sometimes the hard part, isn't it? And, okay, I'm going to talk to all of us as partners for a minute here. Sometimes we love the people at work or at church that we work, whatever ministry with, children's ministry, parking, ushers, it doesn't matter. We're nicer to them, give them more grace and mercy than we do our own spouses. That's sin, brothers and sisters. They should be the first one you're giving grace and mercy to and loving on and giving peace to and helping them to have joy. Oh, I can't wait to go to church and make sure that the people I serve with are joyful and feel the peace that passes all understanding. As you just argued with your wife? Start there. Start at home. One of the things that I share with people, and it's obviously for me first, your partner is first God's son or daughter. You realize that? That's God's son or daughter you're talking to. Then there's second, your brother or sister. And then they're your spouse. Now, they're your spouse first, but again, sometimes we treat other people better than we do our spouses. So if we can continue to say, gee, I'm treating them worse than I do the people I work with, you're in sin. Stop. You want them to have joy. You know, when you come home, I like the home should be a sanctuary. It should be, really should be, the happiest place on earth, not Disneyland. Should be a place that I can't wait to go home because there's peace and joy there and I get to see my wife or my husband. That's what it should be. So are we making it that way? Whether my wife's out doing her real estate and she's coming back, am I going to make it as comfortable as possible for her and as peaceful as possible? When I'm ministering and I'm coming home, is she making it that way for me? We need to make sure that our house is a sanctuary and that we're able to have joy and peace first and foremost in our home. Hey, you know what? There's so many people we have to fight with and argue with, whether it be at work or, and it's just at a church, I'm kidding. But the bottom line is we're in battle. We're in spiritual battle. We've talked about that before, in a spiritual battle. We need to be back to back, backing each other up, making sure that God protects our marriages first and foremost. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin, which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. We need to lay aside all the weights of the world and all of our sins, and then we'll have peace and joy. If you haven't already got a theme here, it's not like you do it once and it's over, right? You know, really, the Word of God says, be being saved, because it's a continual process of being closer to God and working out your salvation in Christ, making sure I'm doing the right thing. When I want to have peace and joy and I want to walk with God and I want to love my wife, I don't just tell her once, I love you. 40 years later, she goes, you know, you've never said you love me except on the day we got married. That would be terrible, right? So it's a constant thing for us to make sure we're bringing peace, we're bringing joy into the relationship, and that we're dying to ourselves and esteeming the other one more highly than ourselves. Okay? Now we're going to look at a couple scriptures on peace. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you were called to one body, and be thankful. I love it that we're called into one body, his family. Every one of you in here should be bringing peace to each other, because we're the body of Christ, right? Seriously, we're the body of Christ. We should be wanting to bring peace to one another. You bring it from your home, and then you bring it to the church, and you bring it to where you work, and you want to bring peace to everyone that you come into contact with. Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Okay. Pursue peace and holiness because we want people to see the Lord. What do you think that means? Who will they see the Lord in? Us. If we're sinning, who will they not see the Lord in? So when we're pursuing peace with other people, we're bringing glory to God. And people could look at us and say, that's what a real Christian is, and I want to be one. Versus, I mean, I'm telling you, okay, married, dating, and engaged. I mean, there are just as many right now marriages that are Christians being divorced as there are non-Christians. Did you know that? It's the truth. And so here we are saying, I've got Christ, and yet I can't even keep my marriage together because I'm not willing to die to myself and do what God's called me to do. We need to make sure that we're dying to ourselves and we're bringing people to look at our family, our relationship, how I do things as Christian. Does that make sense? Do we want people to come to know? Yeah, I really want them to come to know Christ. And, you know, I'm sleeping with bubbles, as Jack would say, right? Or I'm beating someone up, or I'm yelling at them, or I'm backbiting. Oh, that's you know, that's not sin. That's only a little sin. It's a terrible thing to be backbiting and gossiping. So, all right, in 1 Peter 3:11, it says, let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Again, we're supposed to be seeking peace, turning away from evil. If we're involved in evil and we're not seeking peace, do you think we'll be joyful in the Lord? Absolutely not. We need to seek peace, not only with God, not only with our spouses, but with others. I mean, I think there's a lot of people that should totally get off the internet now, because they're just like looking for fights instead of looking for peace. And you've seen them. We've all seen them. Don't you be one of them. Don't be provoking. We need to be looking to be peacemakers. That's what God's called us to do, be peacemakers. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all of your cares on him, for he cares for you. Cast all of our cares on him. Cast all of our cares on him. Do you know that that's a commandment? Do you get that? God's saying, brother and sister, cast your cares on me, and you will have peace and joy. Give them to me. Quit taking them. Quit fighting with them. You know, they talk about worry, and one of the scriptures that I really like that helps me not to worry as much is the one that says, will all the worry in the world add one cubit of height to you? And it says, no. If I could worry a couple cubits worth, I'd be a couple inches taller, right? But it's not going to help. The point is, stop worrying, stop doing those things, obey God and care for others. In 1 Thessalonians 5:15 through 17, it says, see that no one returns and renders evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourself and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So, gee, I wonder what the will of God is. Rejoice, pray, give thanks, pursue God. If I'm doing the will of God, I'm going to have peace and joy. Again, if you're not doing the will of God, it's just amazing to me that we think that I could not do the will of God and have peace and joy as a Christian. Now, as a non-Christian, you don't know any better. But as a Christian, you're wondering, I don't understand it. And yet you're yelling and screaming and cussing or whatever you're doing. You're drinking, whatever it is. Stop it. And the joy and the peace will return to you. James 3:18 says, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Make peace. Make it a conscious decision to make peace with your partner and with those you're in contact with. Not to be thinking, gee, I wonder if I could provoke them back. Maybe you're hurt from something they've done recently, months ago or years ago. Release it. Stop it. Today, tonight. And make peace with them so you can have peace with God. And God could use you again. And the joy and the peace will return to you as you follow Christ and feel his presence again. In Proverbs 12:20, it says, Deceit is in the heart of those who desire and devise evil. But counselors of peace have joy. We should be counselors of peace, helping each other to have that peace and the joy. Be a good example again. In Proverbs 16:7, it says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Whoa. That's what God's word says. Please God and your enemies will be at peace. Isn't that true? You see that, you know. It's almost like they're going, doggone it. How can I say something mean about him? Doggone it. I wish he'd stop being nice to me because I want to say something and backbite him. But no, you're making peace with them. You're doing what God's called you to do. In Psalm 29:11, it says, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. God will give us strength and peace as we follow him. In Romans 12:18-19, it says, if it is possible, now listen to this clearly, if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Amen. Do you think that you can repay someone better than the Lord can? The first thing we should do, honestly, the whole goal in even church discipline is so that somebody will repent and be restored to God. Does that make sense? We want people to be close to God. If they don't know God, we want them to know God, right? So that's got to be our heart and attitude in all of this. And then if they don't, you leave it in the hands of a holy God to take care of you. Not, oh, I'm going to get them back. Wait, I'm setting them up. No. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Let him take care of you. He will. In Romans 14:19, it says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify one another. What does edify one another mean? Boy, if honestly, in our relationships, if we could just edify one another, man, what peace and joy we'd have and what strength we'd have. And I'm telling you, when people are building you up, you can do way more, can't you? When my wife is building me up and telling me that I could do things and I'm praying for you and God's going to anoint you, it's like, well, okay, Lord, fill me with your spirit and power. Believe in your spouse and your partner and pray for them. Uplift them to the Lord. And watch how that will give you peace. 1 Peter 3:9-11 says, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Well, inherit a blessing, then bless others. He who love life and see the good days, let him refrain his tongue. That little thing could be really mean, can't it? He refrained his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. What does pursue it mean? Go after it. We should be going after peace, not going after revenge, not going after problems, going after peace. How can I? And again, it has to start at home, you guys. You want to have peace with everyone else, have peace with your partner first and foremost. Pursue it. Pursue it daily. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace. How? Whose mind is stayed on you. You want to be in perfect peace again. Keep your mind on Jesus. Pray, worship, read his word, and you will be kept in perfect peace. Isaiah 55:12 says, for you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth in singing before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Now, how many of you picture that in your minds? That worship happening with the hills and the trees, and man, that's awesome. We can have that kind of worship and singing. Again, when I'm down, man, worship brings me up. because I'm before his throne, and brings me to tears, and then it brings me to joy, and then I realize who he is, and I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and it gives me my peace and joy. In John 16:33, it says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world again, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Why? Because he has overcome the world. Okay, here's another promise of God. In this world, you will have tribulation. It's in the Bible. It's a promise. You will have tribulation in this world. Comma. But be of good cheer. Why? Because I, God, have overcome the world. So we could have peace and joy knowing that even though we're going to have tribulations, it's going to happen. That I could trust in God and have joy and peace in and through him. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Stop being afraid. God's got this. Give it to God and realize he's got it. Now again, it might be once a week, it might be once an hour, it might be every minute, but give it to God. Give it back to him. Give it to God. Ask God for strength, and he'll take care of you, and he'll give you peace. In 1 Corinthians 14:13, it says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." If you're confused, again, this is real important. God's not the author of confusion. If you're confused about things and just all going, I just don't, something's wrong here, get on your knees and pray. Because the enemy could be ripping you off and just messing you up. You don't have any peace because you're totally confused. What should I do about this? Or what should I do about that? I'm so confused. Ah! Pray. Get on your knees and say, "God, help me. Guide me." And then from there, if you need to, ask a godly person that you trust. Let me give you one example of that that's real important. If you and your partner don't agree on something, and you prayed about it, you sought the Lord on it, now you need to get permission from the other person to ask somebody and pray with you about that. I need to say, "Della, I'm going to talk to Joe about this. Is that okay with you?" She knows Joe is a godly man. I don't even know who Joe is. But she knows Joe, Bob. She knows Bob's a godly man and will give me godly counsel. So she gives me permission to do that. Della says, "Can I speak to Kathy about this? We're both at odds about it." Now the key is, don't fight, don't argue. Ask the Lord. Try to get rid of the confusion. But then get godly counsel from somebody that both of you trust. Because what's going to happen and what happens, you want to talk about taking away your peace and joy, is one of you is going to go talk to so-and-so, and they're going to say, "That person's a gossip. Now everyone at church knows what's going on." Does that make sense? It's happened to all of us, hasn't it? And it might be innocent. So you need to be in harmony together that we trust so-and-so or such-and-such, and we're going to pray with them, and we're going to ask them to help us through this situation. Does that make sense, you guys? Protect yourselves. In Romans 15:13, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." I'm telling you, you can't have true peace, you can't have true joy without the power of the Holy Spirit. So you need to ask the Holy Spirit for his power and his strength so that you can follow him. It's not my own power. I got this. No, he's got this. He is my crutch. God's your crutch. You bet he is. He's the one I rely on. He's the one I pray to. He's the one I ask to help me in every situation. We need God. We need his power. I don't need my strength and my wisdom. When I counsel to her, when I talk to people, I say, I'll share with them. I say, now you're getting that, right? Because George didn't say it. God said it. Amen. Does that make sense? It doesn't matter what I say. When I disciplined my kids, I would tell them, "Okay, look, here's the deal. Here's what you need to do. Here's what's going on. And if you think I'm wrong and could show me in the Bible, I promise you I'll change. And I mean that. That's how we need to be. This is our authority. Not what I say, not what anyone else says, but God's word is our authority, and we lean on that. But we need the power of the Holy Spirit to do that too. So pray, Holy Spirit, give me your guidance, give me your wisdom. In Philippians 4, 6 through 7, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God again, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. To have joy and peace, we must always be in an attitude of prayer. If you're not praying, you're not asking the right person for the answer and for peace and joy. You notice, again, it's up to you doing the right thing in the Lord to have joy and peace. You meaning you getting on your knees. You meaning you praying. You meaning you worshiping. You meaning you lifting the other person up. You meaning you taking care of business and doing what God's called you to do. Don't count on the other person to do that. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. All right, as those of you who have come in the past know that each month we do something different, and you never know. Last month it was a little crazy, but months before we went through the love languages and so on. This time we've got something we're going to pass out to you guys along with pens and pencils, and it's having joy and peace in your relationship. And I'm going to ask you, the first thing is write down something in your relationship that you need to stop right now so you can have more joy and peace in your relationship. Both of you doing it separately. And then write down two things that bring you joy and peace in your relationship right now. Again, it could be that my husband says, let's pray for me. That my wife encourages me. That my wife says, go worship God. But write down two things on that. Right, and then write down something that could bring joy and peace in your relationship in the future. I want you to take a couple minutes, each of you, to write down those things. And then take a couple minutes and discuss it. And then we'll close out the night. Okay? It says an active night, learning and growing and practicing what we've just learned. Okay? Lord, we come before you. We thank you so much for this night, Lord. And Lord, I surely don't have peace and joy totally under control by any means, Lord. And I ask that you would help us, Lord, to understand your peace, your joy, and obey your word, worship you more, pray more to you, seek your face more. And Lord, I ask that we would be peace and joy to our partners, that they would see that we would more quickly turn to prayer, more quickly turn to the word, more quickly turn to worship, and provoke each other to that righteousness. So, Lord, we give you this night. We ask that you bless the food, bless all those that have prepared it, and they're serving in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.